Welcome to another NABBW teleseminar on a topic of huge interest to boomer women and their families, getting along with your mother-in-law or your daughter-in-law. This is a topic I've personally dealt with in both good and challenging, with good and challenging results. Of course, I've had two mothers-in-law, so maybe that's the story there. But in any way, I'm sure that many of our listeners have also had interesting experiences in either being a daughter-in-law or mother-in-law or both. So I'm hoping that you'll be finding today's call fascinating and beneficial for you. So. My name is Ann Holmes. I'm your moderator and the Boomer-in-Chief of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, an organization dedicated to educating and empowering women at midlife. This call, like those we do every month, is one of the ways we serve our membership. In a moment, I will introduce our guest expert, Deanna Brand, PhD, so that we can start our discussion. But before we launch into our topic, let me say a few words about how this call will proceed. For the next 45 minutes or so, the phone lines will be muted, and Deanna and I will be discussing tonight's topic. Then I will open the lines for questions from our listening audience. If you have a question before the lines are open, use the box on your computer screen to type it in. I'll be able to see that and pass it on to Deanna. Now, one more thing. Deanna has an offer for those of you who are listening on the call, and I will get to that later, so be sure that I don't forget about that. All right, moving forward. Our guest tonight, Deanna Brand, PhD, is the author of a new book, Reluctantly Related, Secrets to Getting Along with Your Mother-in-Law or Daughter-in-Law. This book is available in bookstores and online. For more information about it, you can go to Deanna's websites, www.reluctantlyrelated.com or www.drdeannabrand.com. Before we launch into our questions, let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Deanna Brand. She is a leading expert on mother-in-law-daughter-in-law relationships who helps women get unstuck in their relationships so they can peacefully coexist. As a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law herself, she knows this relationship inside and out. She combines her personal experience with her clinical skills and expertise to take you from feeling hopeless to feeling hopeful with easy-to-follow insights, tools, and strategies. Dr. Brand is a relationship expert widely featured in national media, a national speaker on women and relationships, and a consultant for women struggling with relationships, personally or professionally, who want to make things better. She's also the author of an award-winning book, the award-winning book we're here to discuss tonight, Reluctantly Related, Secrets to Getting Along with Your Mother-in-Law or Daughter-in-Law, and a second book, Mothers-in-Law and Daughters-in-Law Say the Darndest Things. We're delighted that those of you who are listening have joined us tonight for this free call. Welcome, Dr. Deanna Brand.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
Oh, we're delighted to have you. Deanna, tonight's topic, the dynamics of relationships between mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law, is the stuff that has kept many a comedian employed, and most likely because, on a more serious note, it is a topic that is fraught with stress, confusion, and frustration. So I don't want to add further frustration to our listeners. Let's just get right into the questions, if that's all right with you.
That's fine with me.
All right. Let's start with this one. Where did your interest in the mother-in-law-daughter-in-law relationship come from?
Well, I would like to be able to say it was just my clinical curiosity, but I have to say that it really came from my own personal experience with my own daughter-in-law, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is that she and I initially got along great, and and I didn't foresee any problems until then they started having children. And that's when things really started going downhill for us. And
mm-hmm.
I have to say, I tried and tried many things over years, to be honest with you, and I just couldn't get it turned around until finally I had an incident happen in my family. My sister was diagnosed with cancer, and so I spent a lot of time with her for that next year before she died. And it was really that experience that made me wake up and say, you know what, I have to do something about this relationship because I only have one child, a son.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really wanted to get along with her, and I liked her. I mean, I really did, and I loved her. So I really wanted to figure this out. And just the dealing with my sister and that death just really made me appreciate relationships so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started doing some research, and I interviewed mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law and husbands and sons. I mean, I wanted to learn it from everybody. And actually,
mm-hmm.
it was that experience of being able to put some distance there as I interviewed people. It allowed me to put the distance there, and that helped me to not only you know, start developing the ideas for the book, but also to help myself. And so what I was able to do is to take my clinical skills and what I was learning from my research and start applying some of that stuff to my relationship with my own daughter-in-law. Mm-hmm. And that changed. And so then I was able to help other women, and that's kind of where the book was born.
All right. That's a fascinating story, and I love how you took a personal experience and realized that it was such a global experience that you realized that there was a need for the book. Would you be able to tell us a little bit more about the book?
Yeah, reluctantly related, you know, and I deliberately wanted to do this. I really created it for both mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law. It's a chance for, regardless if you're a mother-in-law or daughter-in-law, it's a chance for you to be able to look at yourself and see, learn about yourself in a little different way. But the other thing about it is that you're able to learn about the other in-law, your daughter-in-law or your mother-in-law, in a way that you would never be able to learn about them. And just having that piece of information can start to change your perspective of them. And so that was really important for me to add that piece in there. The other thing about the book is that I really do give hands-on, step-by-step tools and solutions to be able to actually change the relationship. Self-help books are great, but to me they need to have some really things that people can do to make things better for them. So I really included that. And probably the other thing is that I, because this is such a heavy topic, that I needed mm-hmm. to add something. And so I really started to add a little humor and some cartoons. And I have lots of cartoons in the book just to kind of lighten things up a little bit and to make it a little more fun. So that's kind of how my book is maybe a little different from some of the other books.
Oh, I have to tell you that when I was reading it, I loved the cartoons and I loved the character names that you gave, you know, the Comfortable Carla or Mothering Margaret.
Margaret, Off the Wall
Wanda. Doubting Donna, yes. All of those. I don't know whether you came up with all those fun names yourself or if you had a little group get-together where people helped you with that, but I think that it makes a topic that could be really a dense and heavy topic into something that's very relatable.
Yeah, and the other thing about the names. The other thing about the names that I wanted to do is when you hear them, you really can picture what that person's about. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear a doubting Donna, you can get a pretty good idea, you know, mm-hmm. that she's struggling. So, you know, it just adds another layer of fun.
Right. Well, I really encourage our listeners to not hesitate to review your, you know, to read your book, because even though it might be a topic that my first mother-in-law, you know, she was just such a challenge, and I tried asking my husband, my first husband, you know, can you help me, and he just always kind of like, stay away from me with the, you know, the crossed fingers, like, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, don't involve
don't
me
near.
In this. Right.
Yeah.
And so,
well, you know, even. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's just such a emotionally fraught topic.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that you've made such an approachable book about it.
Well, and, you know, it really is also for people who have good relationships or, you know, you know, to make it even better, because again, I think mm-hmm. the more you understand about the relationship, you can avoid the pitfalls, you know, before they happen.
Mm-hmm. What would you say it is that makes the relationships between mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law so challenging?
Probably one of the first things is that it really is, if you think about it, it's a very artificial relationship, because, you know, it's not like you picked each other to be friends with. You know, you were mm-hmm. thrown together because of one person, the husband
right.
/ son. And that mm-hmm. is the only reason you're really spending time together. And so, you know, it's this artificial relationship that it's like all of a sudden you have to create this relationship with somebody you don't even know and you're not even sure you like, you know, because you just mm-hmm. don't know them. So that makes it hard right off the bat. But then also you're talking about, you know, she's at a different life stage than you are as a mother-in-law. And so that creates an uncomfortable dynamic, because you've already been through what she's going through, and she may not want any of your suggestions or advice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you want to help her not go through what you went through. So, I mean, it just creates a bad dynamic right there.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing would be we all come into the relationship with our personal histories and our own emotional baggage. And you can't avoid that. We just do. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, we have a tendency, because of that history and that baggage, of either misperceiving our daughters-in-law's actions, or we get misperceived by them, you know. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is, you know, things can get pretty ugly in that situation. And so if she's misperceived you or you've misperceived her, what ends up happening is then you're going to react in such a way based on your perception, or she's going to react to you based on her perception of you, maybe not what's necessarily accurate. Then you're going to react to her, and then she's going to react back, and you're going to react. And then you get this snowball effect where all this, you know, negativity starts happening, and it just goes downhill from there. Mm-hmm. And I experienced that a few times.
Right.
So
yes.
I remember, you know, how that can be. So, I mean, it's really those five things that really make this such a challenging relationship and actually make it different than some of the other in-law relationships. I think another thing would be mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law, they do compete with each other, not so much for that man, the son or the husband's love, but for their influence over him. I mean, mm-hmm. if you think about it, as a mom, you've had influence over your child since he was a baby. I mean, you just have. Mm-hmm. And the daughter-in-law is coming in as his wife, and she wants to have influence. And really, at this point, you're kind of passing the baton, you mm-hmm. know, and handing over the influence to her. And it's, one, it's hard to give that up as a parent. And two, it makes it feel competitive between the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law.
Right.
And that's unique. I think that is pretty unique to the mother-in-law-daughter-in-law relationship itself. You're not going to find that mm-hmm. so much in some of the other in-law relationships.
I totally agree with that. Although I am finding my brain going back to a situation. My first mother-in-law, she had six children, and she just dearly loved those children. And she didn't really seem to have a good relationship with any of the spouses. But so I remember one time it was Christmas, and we'd all gotten together for Christmas, and she decides that she wants to have a professional photographer come and take a family picture, but only her and her husband and the children. So the rest of us were left sitting at the kitchen table, and we dubbed ourselves the Outlaws, and we kind of became this band that had a common bond because we were the Outlaws.
Well, would have been awkward, yeah. You guys should have all had a picture taken of yourselves as a group. That would have been fun.
We should have commandeered her photographer and said, well, as long as you're here.
Yeah, take a picture of the Outlaws, you know.
Right.
That's funny.
Well, beyond that, what would you say is the most common problem for mothers-in-law, and how can she deal with it?
Probably the most common problem I've run into in talking with mothers-in-law is feeling that she's being misunderstood by her daughter-in-law. You know, her intentions can be very good, and her daughter-in-law totally misses the intentions and is interpreting the behavior, you know, very differently. And a perfect example of this is a woman that I worked with whose daughter-in-law always seemed to be angry with her. I mean, every time she tried to help her daughter-in-law was just snarly and just real negative towards her. And it was clear her daughter-in-law, you know, saw her as controlling and intrusive. In fact, she even said that to her mother-in-law at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this woman was really struggling. I'll call her Fran because I need to have a name because it feels weird not calling her something. So
right.
I'll call her Fran. And so Fran was, like, really struggling with this because, one, she didn't know what to do. And so she mm-hmm. wasn't doing anything, and that wasn't making anything any better. And so when she and I started working together, what I did is I helped her to turn that around and really helped her to help her daughter-in-law perceive her differently. And what I did is I helped her with some tools. And one of the things we used was really helping her show her daughter-in-law what her intentions were, you know, and showing mm-hmm. her how to look at her more accurately and really honing in on those behaviors. And actually, it didn't take long. I'm going to say it maybe took about a month or so for her to, you know, get her daughter-in-law to soften a little bit and to start to see her a little differently. And it just made a huge difference. But that misperception, because, you know, once you're misperceived, it's really hard to undo that.
Right.
You know, and you can't tell them, but that's not who I am, because they don't care. They're going to dig their mm-hmm. heels in and still believe that that's who you are. You've got to show them in a way that's not jamming it down their throat. And mm-hmm. and they'll eventually soften, but it can be challenging. And it's hard for a mother-in-law to deal with that, because the daughter-in-law has a lot of power in these relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that makes it hard, because, I mean, they have control over your son and your grandkids, and
right.
they hold all that power. And so,
yes,
you feel like
you just won't be seeing the grandchildren.
Exactly, or your son, or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's scary for, particularly for mothers-in-law, to take those steps. And one of the things that I do when I work with women, my whole philosophy is about really, you know, being able to change behavior without challenging or confronting people, because no one wants to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me is the key. If you can help them change their behavior without challenging them or confronting them, it's a win-win situation.
Okay. Well, you may have just answered my next question, but let's see.
Right.
I was going to ask you, I don't know, I was going to say, what is the one thing that a mother-in-law can do to make her relationship with her daughter-in-law better? And would it be what you were just talking about, or is there more?
There's more to it. I mean, that would be one thing, but I think even more, not more important, in a different way, this is important. And that would be to really develop a relationship with this daughter-in-law, or if you're a daughter-in-law with your mother-in-law, independent
mm-hmm.
of your husband or son. You know,
mm-hmm.
get to know her. Get to know who she is. Get to know what her likes are, her dislikes. Find out what you have in common. And really start to think of it in terms of, if you were developing a friendship with this person, how would you go about doing that? And that's what you want to do, because you need to help her see you as
mm-hmm.
someone who is an independent person separate from the son. You don't want to just be the mother-in-law or just be the daughter-in-law. You want to have your own name and your own identity, because that's going to allow for a lot of those misperceptions to not occur, because
mm-hmm.
she's starting to see you for who you are and not, you know, for this perception of what a mother-in-law is or what a daughter-in-law is.
Okay. Are there good ways that you would recommend to do that? Is it something like the two of you spending time alone together, like maybe you go shopping or something that's non-confrontational? Or how can you set that up?
Yeah, I think, you know, and it has to be different depending on, sometimes if you live close or you don't live close. And first off, find out, let's say, for example, and this would be whether you live close or you don't live close, but, you know, you're talking to your son on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
What you could do is you could say, well, let me talk to, and whoever's wife's name is, you know, throw
mm-hmm.
that in there. And then you ask her about her day and find out if she's working outside the home, you know, what's going on, you know, at work. And, you know, get to know her. Ask her questions. Be interested in her life, you know, that
mm-hmm.
has nothing to do with your son, that has nothing to do with the grandkids. So you can talk to her on the phone, particularly if you're not living in the same state. I mean, that's what I ended up doing a lot, because when we lived in Michigan and they lived here in Tennessee, at the time I talked a lot on the phone because that was my only
mm-hmm.
option. But, you know, so you can do that. If you both enjoy, and I do know that particularly daughters-in-law, not that mothers-in-law aren't, but daughters-in-law are very, very busy. And
mm-hmm.
so they may not be able to go to lunch, but if you can, then great. Or, you know, it might be just a coffee, or it might be, you know, if she likes to go for walks, maybe you can go for a walk with her. I mean, it just can be something that's very just casual and just, you know, and don't make it a big deal. You know, if she can't do it, that's fine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be another time. Don't take it personally if she says no. You know, if you find something that she really, if she likes something and you see it when you're shopping, you know, you can either call her and ask her if she'd like you to pick it up, or it's a little risky picking something up for her, because
mm-hmm.
that might be misconstrued, but it's okay to call and say, you know, I saw this, would you want me to pick this up for you, you know, kind
mm-hmm.
of stuff, because it shows that you're interested, you know, that
right.
that she matters to you independent of, you know, the husband or son. And that's really mm-hmm. important. People want to matter for
right.
themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I really think that's important, that you're talking about the importance of making the two women feel like they matter to each other, separate of the mm-hmm. the son / husband. But let's talk about that son or husband. How does he fit into this equation?
Well, it's interesting. Oftentimes he feels caught in the middle between the two women. I mean, he loves his mom, he loves his wife, he loves them differently. And what happens a lot of the time is that both mothers and wives throw him in the middle,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he is the common bond, you know.
Right.
He knows his wife, he knows his mother, and it's like, well, can't you tell your mother this, or, you know, what's going on with your wife? I mean, that's what he gets, you know, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can be really stressful for him. One of the things I do recommend is that women try to work out their relationship on their own, you know. Now, there are times when he may need to be included. From the daughter-in-law's perspective, it would always be from the daughter-in-law's perspective that they would need to be united front in talking mm-hmm. to his mom. But, you know, for the most part, it really needs to be about their relationship, you know, and let them work out a relationship. Because if you think about it, if, and I'm speaking for a daughter-in-law for a moment, if you wouldn't have your husband help you with one of your friends if you were having trouble with them, you know,
mm-hmm.
so why would you do that with his mother? You know, it's
right.
just, you know, even though, yes, he knows his mother, but he knows her differently, too,
mm-hmm.
you know. The other thing that I want to say about the sons in this is that I think what I have found, most women talk to me about, and this would be a mother-in-law who talks to me about their son, they talk about how he's pulled away or changed since he's been married. That's like a big theme, you know. Oh, he's just
mm-hmm.
so different now that he's married, and we used to be so close, and now he hardly talks to me, and, you know, this kind of stuff. And I think it's really important for us to remember that in order for your son to develop into the man he's meant to be, he needs to pull away to some degree. He would need
mm-hmm.
to do that whether he's married or not.
Right.
What typically happens is, from if you look at it from a developmental standpoint, usually it happens around the same time he's getting married.
Mm-hmm.
And so it looks like it's because of being married, but if he weren't getting married, he would need to be doing that anyway. So I think, one, you don't want to automatically assume the wife is doing something to make this
mm-hmm.
happen. And I think it's important for a mother-in-law to realize that, you know, her relationship with her son needs to change. She needs to – her role is now different than it was before, particularly once he's married. But even if he's not married, for him to be that strong, independent man – he needs to pull away from his mom from an emotional standpoint, and she needs
mm-hmm.
to allow that to happen. And they're going to have to figure that out, because it's not, you know, it's not that he should never talk to her, because he should,
right.
but he's going to talk to her differently, you know, and the frequency will be different, and the context will be different, and those kinds of things, because he's in a different stage of his life now. And I think we sometimes forget that.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that I can think of any books that have been written for sons on how to deal with their mothers as they become adults. That might be a thing where if they haven't had a model of, you know, a role model to model after, they might be actually quite challenged with that role differentiation.
Well, you know, in doing my interviews for the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law book, I did discover some, I learned a lot actually about that, because depending on the type of mother you have, it does affect your ability to be able to do that, you know. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, some types of mothers, it's more difficult to pull away than it is, you know, other mothers. And so it is very challenging for men, and it's not something that we talk about in our culture,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's, you know, we just don't. And so, you know, I don't know, and men don't talk about it to each other, I don't think, because at least I haven't experienced that when talking to men. It's not like,
right.
you know, the elders are talking to the sons about how this works, You know, so I think men don't really know how that was supposed to work. And so, you know, we kind of all fumble around,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't help either, you know.
No, it doesn't. But I heard you laughing when I was saying that these relationships are the fodder of a lot of comedians' whole repertoires, and yet it is probably so true because there aren't any real roles for, you know, that people know how to model themselves after. So we're all just kind of stumbling through the whole thing, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone Loves Raymond. That particular show was mm-hmm. a great example of a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law relationship that I hear a lot about. I mean, mm-hmm. The way that show was designed was just, it was a classic example of what it can be like and the struggles for everybody in that, you mm-hmm. know, that whole dynamic. So, and they, you know, they've had so many shows about that in movies and it's quite interesting. And you're right. We're still fumbling, so
right.
and maybe that's our way of trying to work through it. I don't know,
mm-hmm.
but it keeps people in business, I guess.
Okay, well, let's talk about someone. How would we deal with someone? And I think we're talking now about the mother-in-law or the daughter-in-law. But how would we deal with a person who's inconsiderate and it seems to you like everything has to be about that person?
You know, it's funny. This particular type of person. In my book, she would be an off-the-wall Wanda, Weird Wendy, mm-hmm. either one of those. But, you know, you can find these people everywhere. You find them in personal relationships. You find them in your work relationships. You find them in, you know, if you belong to organizations, you'll find them in all different environments. So they're everywhere. And they are the most difficult people to deal with because they don't get boundaries. You know, they don't care about boundaries. They want what they want when they want it. And they'll do what they need to do to get it. And they're not even, I think, often aware that that's what they're doing. So when I speak to women's groups, I do share with them, you know, because this comes up a lot in when I talk to groups, you know, they want to know about this. And so, in fact, I did a whole talk about this, about setting boundaries and how to set boundaries. And because these people need boundaries. But you can't just set boundaries. You have to not only set boundaries, but you have to have consequences. And if you have consequences, you have to follow through with them. And that gets real scary for people because it's one thing to do that with your children when they're little, because mm-hmm. that's what we do. It's another thing to do that with an adult because it's kind of like, but I shouldn't have to do that with an adult, you know? And mm-hmm. most adults you don't have to do that with. But there's a certain group that you do. And usually the people who have to deal with that type of person are the people who are very kind, very nice, who don't want to make waves, who don't want to, you know, be too pushy. And what happens is they get pushed because these types of people will do that. So it's really important that you set boundaries and that you have consequences and that you follow through. Because I will tell you, if you do that and you are consistent with it, they will start to follow whatever boundary or rule you set. And the great thing about this is a perfect example of you don't have to challenge and you don't have to confront. You can do it very lovingly and very kindly, bring those things up, and you don't discuss it. You just, mm-hmm. this is what it is, and that's it, you know. And so it makes it simple in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful because, you know, all of us can use simple. I mean, our lives are mm-hmm. so complicated that to
exactly.
be able to solve a problem without having more complexity added to our lives, that is a true, wonderful thing that you're sharing with us here today. I'd like to ask one more question about the approach that you have.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say is what's unique about your approach to helping women?
Well, again, I think one of the things that I do, which does make me unique, is I really focus on helping you change the relationship without challenging or without confronting. And again, because no one wants to, number one, challenge another person because confrontation feels awful on both sides. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's not just the person who hears it, it's the person who has to do it. That doesn't feel good to them either. So if,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you think about it, if you can change your relationship without having to make a big deal about it, without, you know, drawing attention to it so much, I mean, that's golden, and that's empowering, which is another piece that I think makes me unique and my approach unique, is that my whole thing is about empowering women to be able to know that they don't have to feel helpless, that they don't have to feel stuck, that they really can change things. And they really know how. It's just a matter of tweaking things a little bit and thinking about things just a little differently. And so I just want people to be able to know that they can do it. And the tools that I can help them with makes it so easy for them to do that it doesn't feel hard, you know. It just doesn't. And that, I think that's important. You know, if it's hard, people aren't going to do it. I wouldn't.
No.
You know.
And that's what human nature is. I don't think we are ever going to change that part of human nature. If something's hard, people don't do it. Or
no,
they start
to
do it and they can't finish it. They can't follow through.
Exactly.
So what would you say is the most rewarding part of what you do?
I think whether I'm speaking to a group or I'm coaching one-on-one, I really love watching women experience that aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
When that light bulb goes on and I can actually see at that point the beginning of their transformation. I just love that. I think that is just so fabulous, because at that point they know that they have the power within themselves to do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great to me.
I can imagine that it would be, I think it would probably be a real high to be able to say, you know, I saw this happen today. You know, not so much of a high of saying, look how wonderful I am, but just that you were able to open the turn on the light for someone to let them see, I could do this, I can do this.
Well, to watch them turn the light on themselves,
mm-hmm.
that's the golden part. That's the part I just love, because we all have it within us to do. We just sometimes don't know how,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we just need a little help to know how. And once we know how, then we can go.
Excellent. Now, one of the things that I noticed that you talk about in your book is that there are some people who need professional help. It's more than just the dynamics of a mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship. There couldn't be situations that are mental illness type of things or other types of things that you know, no matter how much the daughter-in-law follows or the mother-in-law follows what the secrets that you've got in your book, that it's not going to cure things. So let's talk about how would someone know if they need more help in making their relationship better, more help than just trying to do it on their own?
Well, there's two ways I want to kind of look at this. One would be if someone needs therapy, okay,
mm-hmm.
Because there are situations. If there is, let's say, extreme depression, or there's some mental disorder, let's say like bipolar or any of those kinds of things. If there's alcoholism, that would be another thing. If you've got drugs and alcohol as an issue somewhere in this relationship between you and your in-law, then you need help with that, because that some of those issues have to be addressed first before
mm-hmm.
You can even deal with the in-law, you know.
Or probably even the early onset of Alzheimer's, that type of dementia
that would be another one, because you need help in understanding what that's all about, and
mm-hmm.
You know, that's where a true professional, as far as a clinician, would come into play, because that's their area of expertise, and I would seek somebody out who has that particular area of expertise. So any
mm-hmm.
of those, you know, issues that, you know, when you have, you know, some kind of emotional or mental struggle like that, you know, whether it's dementia or it's bipolar or it's, you know, alcoholism or drugs or you know, whatever those issues are, depression is huge. And depression that is on a continuum, but
mm-hmm.
that can be pretty severe, and it can have a very huge effect on all relationships. So I think those are the times when you want to seek out, let's say, a clinician, a mental health, whether it be a social worker or a psychologist or whoever, but one of those people. But then you also have, you know, there are times when it's not that you need someone that specific, but you might need help because you've tried to make this relationship work and you've kind of reached the end of the rope. You don't know what to do next. Mm-hmm. So that would be when you would want to seek out, you know, more help, whether that's getting downloads and getting more material or whether that's seeking out consulting or coaching, whatever, just someone to help you with the tools. And again, it might be where you feel, you know, there's none of those other issues there, but you just you've tried everything and you don't know what else to do. And what we have a tendency of doing is when we don't know what to do, we start rationalizing things like, oh, it isn't so bad, or if I try it, I'll just make it worse, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or she's never going to change anyway, why bother? I mean, I said that a few times, so I get that, you know. But mm-hmm. those are just rationalizations that we say to ourselves because we don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is if whatever you have tried isn't working, then you know, go for more help. You know, find resources that would have that information for you. And if you're about ready to give up, because that's the other thing I've noticed with women, and this would be mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law, they just get to a point of giving up. And part of it is because they're scared to try something new, to really mm-hmm. test it and to see, because it is scary, you know. But this is a very important relationship. I mean, it's probably one of the most important relationships because, again, this is about family. It's about your child or your husband, and if you're the daughter-in-law, you have to remember you are a role model for your children, mm-hmm. and they're going to watch you with how you interact with your mother-in-law or your, you know, sisters-in-law, brothers-in-law, or whoever, and they're going to model what you do. So be mm-hmm. careful, you know. When they become adults, they're going to learn from you. So you really have to think about that. And as a mother-in-law, as I said before, you have a lot to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So don't give up on this relationship. It may never be warm and fuzzy, but it can always get a little better. I mean, that mm-hmm. would be the least, you know. So don't ever give up on it. And again, if you don't have to go to a professional like mental health person, get the resources, get some help. There's stuff out there. I mean, there's my stuff, but there's other people's stuff out there too. So it's not just mine, but there are resources out there to help you get what you need for changing a relationship.
Okay, great. Let's take a break here and talk about the offer that you want to make to our listeners, Deanna. You're making a special offer to those that are listening here on the live call. You're offering a signed copy of your book, Reluctantly Related, the book we've been mainly talking about here. You're offering it for $13 instead of the $16.95 price. And not only do they get a signed book, but they'll receive a free copy of your cartoon book that we mentioned earlier, The Mothers-in-Law and Daughters-in-Law Say the Darndest Things. And I love that title. What was it, Art Linkletter or somebody that
yes,
had that
yes.
kids say the darndest
yep.
things? And,
exactly,
and so every,
exactly.
I think that it, you know, it just, it makes it, you know it's going to be a fun thing and yet some good lessons there in the process. But would you give us the details about how our listeners can receive this special offer?
Yeah, all you need to do is email me, and you can email me at promo, at drdeannabrand.com, and just email me your name and your phone number, and then I will contact you so that I can get your address and mail it to you. And the $13 does include postage, so you don't have to worry about that. And once I get that, then I will mail both the books out to you, and you'll be able to have a chance to read them. Or if you already have a copy or you don't even need one, holidays are coming up, you can always give them as gifts. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do think that they would be wonderful gifts. I also think that they would be great gifts for a wedding shower or you know,
yes.
a present of that nature because you know, so many times when you go to a wedding shower, there's you know, fun gifts, but there's not necessarily gifts like this that could really be a helpful thing for a daughter-in-law coming into a new relationship here. So So I'm really delighted to let people know about your offer because I think, I just love having a signed book. So that's a at a special rate and with another book thrown in, I think that's a wonderful offer. So I'm glad that you've decided to make that available. Our time is passing here, and I don't want to disallow people the chance to ask questions of you. Sometimes I get talking and I just totally go through and don't allow time for questions, so I don't want that to happen. I'm going to open the call up so that our listeners here can have a chance to ask you a few questions of their own before we close. And then what I've done is I've made the call interactive, so anyone who's listening, all they have to do is speak. You don't have to press any special keys on your phone or anything like that. Just speak, and we'll be able to hear you, and we'll answer your question. And sometimes people are hesitant to get started, so I've got a few questions that have come into us already that if our people are hesitating to start being the first one, we'll go with one of the earlier questions.
Nobody wants to be the first one.
Right. So who's got a question for Dr. Deanna? Well, all right, then I will start with, you get your courage up together here, people. I'm going to say, here's one. My daughter-in-law seems to be mad at me, but I have no idea why. What can I do?
Well, the thing about this is, this goes back to the whole perception thing, and you may have done nothing really, but your daughter-in-law thinks you've done something to wrong her, and so that's why she's mad at you. She's perceiving that you have done something. Whether you have or haven't doesn't even matter. That's how she sees it. And I say that because it's important that you look at it from that perspective. And what I would recommend you do, there's a skill that I do teach, but I also have it on my website, which is called listening and learning. And I want to give you the steps of that because that is really going to make a huge difference. You need to figure out why she's angry with you, because you can't fix it if you don't know why. And the best way to know why, to find out why, is to ask her. But you have to ask her in a way that's non-threatening to her and where you don't get defensive. And this skill, what I like about this skill is that it allows you to break that stalemate of, I know she's mad at me and I don't know why, and you know we're not talking, so, and we dance around it kind of thing. But you don't have to admit you're wrong if you're not wrong. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of the beauty of it. You know, you can find out why without giving in to something that you didn't even do. So let me give you the steps for that. The first step would be that you want to take an emotional step back. When you are asking her questions, when you're trying to find out why she's angry with you, you really need to look at this time as this is a fact-finding mission. This is not about trying to change her mind, because you won't. Mm-hmm. All right, this is about, I just need to gather information right now. All right, that's all I'm doing. So you mm-hmm. need to take that emotional step back so that you can just get the facts. The second thing is, you do not want to focus on right and wrong, because it doesn't matter if she's right or wrong. This is her perception. This is how she views it. And you can't help her change that perception until you understand her perception. So don't worry if she's wrong, you know, or she's saying you're wrong. Okay, don't even mm-hmm. worry about that, because that's not going to be helpful right now. The third step would be that you don't take it personally. And what I mean by that is, she's going to be saying a lot of things. She's going to be saying some truth, some half-truth, some not-so-true things. She's going to be saying all kinds of things because she's going to be emotional at this time when she's talking to you. And so don't take anything she says personally, because she's very emotional right now. And again, this is about her perception. This is how she views it, not necessarily reality. All right? Mm-hmm. And then the last one is, you want to ask her questions to help clarify what it is she's saying, because right now you just want to make sure that you understand what she's trying to say to you. So you want to ask questions in such a way that you can get that clarification. Mm-hmm. And so one of the best ways to do that is to, when you ask a question, is you repeat back to her what she's saying to you in your words to make sure that you're hearing her correctly. And that's gonna do two things. One, that's going to make sure that you hear her correctly and you're understanding where she's coming from. But the best part of that is that she's going to start to feel heard by you.
Mm-hmm.
And when she starts to feel heard by you, she's going to start to soften, because we all want to feel heard, especially when we're hurt. We want to feel like that person understands our pain, our emotional pain. And if you can communicate with her that you are hearing her, she's going to start to feel that you truly are understanding her emotional pain. And it doesn't mean you're apologizing. It just means that you're getting clarification.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the four steps that you would want to do. And I can guarantee you, if you do those, you will start to see some change, and she will start to help you understand why she's upset. And in doing this four-step process, you will start to change the relationship between the two of you, and she will start to soften, and she will start to shift where she won't be angry with you anymore because she feels heard by you.
Excellent.
That was a long answer to a short question, but...
No, but very complete, and I think that, you know, steps that people can follow. I've got another question here. How long did it take you with Michelle to get things turned around?
Well, let me first say that I struggled with her for 8 years. Okay, so let's start with that.
Right? Okay.
It took me, I'm going to say, now keep in mind, I did not live in Tennessee. I do now, but I did not then. So everything was long distance, so that added a little piece to it. But aside from that, it took me about a year, a little over a year to get to the point. And then I had decided to write the book, right? And so I'm like, oh, my gosh, I need to tell her, you know. And we were getting along, so I'm going, oh, my gosh, I'm afraid to tell her because I don't want to stir something up and get her mad at me. But she was very supportive. In fact, she helped me write the first chapter, which is a chapter about she and I. And she helped me write that. So I did part of it from my perspective and the other half from her perspective. And that was a lot of fun to do together. So I enjoyed that. So it took a little over a year.
Excellent. Oh, that's good to know that it has been able to be accomplished. Here's one that I find intriguing, that is, what about the grandchildren? What about the situation where the grandchildren perceive that there's a challenge between the two of you, and so they start to manipulate? You know, I can get stuff from grandma that I can't get from mom.
I think, I do think you have to be very careful when it comes to the grandkids. You know, you need to make sure that you are not as grandparents, we all want to give to our grandkids. I've got two of them, so I know, you know, it's like, and grandparents do have a little different relationship than the parents do, but you really need to make sure that you're not overstepping your bounds when it comes to giving gifts or indulging the grandkids, you know. So so I would, you know, before you do things, make sure it's okay with the parents. You know, those are their children, their rules, and you need to be respectful of that. So it's up to you to not allow the grandkids to manipulate. And you can do it very nicely. I mean, you can say things like, well, you know, great, let's go check with your parents, you know.
Right.
You know, and be very open about it. You don't be secret, because you want to encourage them to not be manipulative. So if you're saying, well, we're going to check with your parents, or let me call your parents first, they'll stop doing that because they'll know they're busted. So so just be respectful of the parents' rules and guidelines.
Okay. That makes sense. With the holidays coming up, what can I do to make the holidays go smoother or at least be less tense? That's my next one for you.
Yeah, the holidays can always be challenging, and not just for mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law. It can be for all family members. But I think the first thing is you need to be realistic about your expectations. It is not going to be Norman Rockwell, okay? I don't care how well you get along. It's not going to be Norman Rockwell. So so really put things in perspective of what your expectation is for the day, and not make it too grandiose. The second thing would be, don't take things personally. Everybody's going to be stressed out. Things are going to be said, or you know, body language is going to be a certain way or whatever, and it would be easy to misinterpret. She could walk in and walk by you and not say hello. Don't take it personally. It's just one day. Get through it, you know. It's like, let's just you know, put things aside and just pretend that you didn't see that or whatever, because it's just not worth it. The third thing would be a team player. You know, if she's coming over to your house, include her. Include her in the preparations. Include her in helping you or doing things together. You know, if you're cooking, have her come in and help you, or at least have her come in and chat with you, or ask her to help you with this or that or whatever. If you're going to her house, you know, offer to bring things. Offer to help her. Don't just jump in and help, but ask her if she wants some help. And, you know, and if she doesn't, then you can always stay there and talk to her, you know. Again, develop that independent relationship with her. So be a team player. Another one would be humor. I think humor is something you really, really need in these situations. And there, you can always find a funny moment when somebody says something that is really off the wall or really inappropriate or whatever it is. And just find whatever piece of humor you can possibly find in something that they do that would otherwise drive you crazy. And remember that this will be a great story for you to be able to tell your friends later. Oh, you want to hear what my, you know, I mean, it's just, it's great. So use those as moments to bring the humor in. And then probably the last thing I would say is, because holidays can be so stressful and we put so much of ourselves into the holiday, it's really important that you find some time during that day, even if it's just a few minutes, to have some downtime for yourself, because that will help you regroup and not get too exhausted, because that's when things can happen, you know, when our guard kind of comes down, or our defenses, or we're a little more sensitive or whatever. So try to find some time in there where you can kind of regroup, whether it's, you know, go watch a movie with the grandkids or something, you know, so you don't have to be talking or whatever, or, you know, clean up the last bit of dishes yourself so that you can have some downtime, or maybe just, you know, run to the store or go for a short walk, whatever, just to get a few minutes of some downtime. Those would be the main things.
Okay. I've got one more here that came in, and then I don't want to keep going through these and not let other people talk, but let me ask, anybody who has a question, and you've been holding your breath and waiting for me to stop talking so you can ask your question, I'll be quiet here and do ask your question. All right. Well,
they're going to let you do it.
I guess they are. This one is interesting to me. It's could you discuss a little bit why you think that the challenges that the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship have are different from the challenges that the father-in-law, son-in-law have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that question a lot. And the main reason is that men are very different about their relationships than women are. And if you think about even little boys can go and, you know, be angry at each other one minute, smack each other side of the head, and then they're going out and playing ball together. They get over things very, very quickly. They don't get into all the emotional stuff and all that women do. Women take things very personally. It's just our dynamic. It's just how we're made up. And, you know, our relationships are just very different than males. Males focus around doing things, activities. Mm-hmm. Whereas women focus on the actual relationship, spending time talking to each other, you know, getting real personal with each other, getting to know each other more intimately on that whole emotional level. Men do not do that. And it's just the nature, the difference between men and women. And so that's what makes it so different.
All right. That makes sense. Those are the end of the questions that I've got here. And since I'm not hearing anybody knocking on our door, so to speak, and saying I've got a question, I'm going to say that, Deanna, it's been great talking to you today, and I thank you for being my guest and for this great discussion about either being a mother-in-law or a daughter-in-law or both. Is there anything else that you want to say before we wrap up the call? Anything that we haven't covered? Huh, I see that Deanna seems to have gotten cut off from the call. I'm not sure why that is, but I'm going to say thank you to everyone for joining us this evening for this great call with Deanna Brand, PhD. Again, Deanna's book is titled Reluctantly Related, Secrets to Getting Along with Your Mother-in-Law. Are you there again?
Yeah, I got disconnected, so I came back.
Oh, good. That's good, because I was just saying, well, somehow she's gotten disconnected. But I don't know if you heard my question. I was saying thank you for being my guest. And is there anything else that you want to say before we wrap up the call?
The only thing I want to say is I'm actually starting some new research because I'm going to be writing a new book, and I do want to share this with everyone. I've had such great success with the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. I've decided to do a new book on the other in-law relationships. So it'll include sisters-in-law and brothers-in-law and fathers-in-law and mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law in relation to everybody else. So If anyone is interested in being a part of my, because I have to research, which means I'm interviewing mothers-in-law, daughters-in-law, fathers-in-law, brothers-in-law, sisters-in-law, all the in-laws. If anyone is interested in being a part of that, you can just email me. You pick any of my email. You can do the promo one if you want, or you can do Deanna at drdeannabrand.com, and just let me know, and I will email you back, and we'll set something up. And if you do interview with me for this new book, you will get a free copy of the book when it comes out.
Oh, that's wonderful. I just want to spell out your name for people in case they aren't clear on that. It's the promo would be at Dr. Deanna Brand. That would be drdeannabrann.com, not brand like B-R-A-N, but with two N's at the end there,
right.
And two N's in the Deanna. So that makes it easier for the mail to get to you if it's spelled right. So I'm excited about the new book. That's wonderful, and I certainly hope that people will contact you that would be willing to be interviewed, because I think that would be so fun to be having a chance to tell stories and answer the other questions that you've got for interviewing. I think that would be wonderful.
And it is all confidential, so I do want people to know that, because they do ask. It's confidential, and your name nor any of your stories specifically will be in the book, so you do – that's a given, because I did the same thing with the whole mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. I'm very respectful of people's, personal stuff. So I hope you do. I hope you contact me so that I can interview. It's a lot of fun, and we have fun with it.
Excellent. Well, with that note, I'm going to thank everyone for joining us this evening for this great call with Deanna Brand, PhD. Again, Deanna's book that we were discussing here tonight is called Reluctantly Related, Secrets to Getting Along with Your Mother-in-Law or Daughter-in-Law. And then she had told us about the second book, Mothers-in-Law and Daughters-in-Law Say the Darndest Things. Both of those books are available by Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com and by bookstores. Am I not correct about that?
You're correct about that. Or if you want a signed copy, contact me.
Excellent. That's right. As you heard me say earlier, I love having signed copies. So I hope that our listeners here will take advantage of Dr. Deanna Brand's special offer to receive a signed copy of Reluctantly Related, as well as the cartoon book. And I think that the cartoons in the main book, the Reluctantly Related book, I think that, as I said before, it makes a serious subject easy to handle, sort of like the old spoonful of sugar concept. I think that these books would make a great Hanukkah or Christmas present, and as I said earlier, a great gift for a bride-to-be. So many, many reasons that people would want to purchase a book, and I certainly hope that all of our listeners will do that. Be sure and check out Deanna's website, because there's loads of wonderful information on it, including information about the books. The web address, again, is two of them, www.reluctantlyrelated.com, as well as the one that I just spelled out for you, www.drdeannabrand.com. And if you have a question after the call, you can feel free to email them to Deanna, and she said that promo address that we gave earlier doesn't have to only apply to promos. You could probably send her email at that too, so promo@drdeannabrand.com. So that would be how anybody who had a question that we didn't have time to answer here tonight would be able to ask them of you, Deanna. And Deanna, and I think that you would be happy to hear from people. Also, if anyone who's listening would like to know more about the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, you can find us in a number of places online, including our main website at nabbw.com. We have a forum at BoomerWomenSpeak.com and the Facebook page at facebook.com/NABBW. So I'm going to thank you again, Dr. Deanna Brand, for being our guest. Thank you to our quiet audience for being on the call with us. And with that, I'm going to say good night to everyone and have a good week.
My pleasure, Anne.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.